Remember again, this is not a game. You're going to have to face God in judgment. I will too. With those words, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. For it's a shame for women to speak in the church. I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. We will face God with that. I would hate to face God in judgment with Daryl's position. It is so clear. He makes fun of me saying, well, it's wrong for women to speak in the church assembly. What does that mean? Well, it means whatever Paul meant when he says, let your women keep silence in the church. That doesn't mean during play period at school, does it? Daryl makes fun of me for saying that, adding that clause in the church. But whatever that means, whatever God meant when he said in the churches, that's what I mean. At the end of verse 35, he says, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. That implies it's a sin for her to speak in the church. But at other times outside the church, it's not necessarily a sin. Daryl can make fun of that all he wants to, but that's what the text actually says. And God wrote every word of it. The Holy Spirit did. Verse 23, I think, helps us with this. It says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place. So when the whole church comes together in one place, we might call that the preaching service. We all may call it something different. But when that happens, the woman is not to be the teacher. Daryl says, you can't read the Bible and conclude women can't speak. That's right. But you can read the Bible and conclude the women can't speak in the church assembly. We're looking right at it. Are you looking at it? Do you take God's word seriously? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. I didn't write that. God did. The end of verse 35, it is a shame for women to speak in the church. You're right. God never said the woman cannot speak, but he did say they're not to speak in the church. You can read that, can't you? That's easy to read. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man but to be in silence. No, you can't read that a woman can't speak. But you can read that they're not to teach or usurp authority over the man. That would not only say that the woman can't preach in the church assembly, if there's men there, for example, but in the Sunday school classes. If there are men in the Sunday school classes, the woman is not supposed to be the leader over that class, because this says she's not to teach over the man. She's not to take authority over the man in that teaching. If she's just teaching ladies or ladies and children, that's fine. She doesn't violate this verse. But you can't read she's not to speak, but you can read she's not to speak in the church, and you can read she's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That's what the Bible says. Now, I didn't exactly say that women preachers are like homosexuals. Here's what I said. You guys can see how clearly, and this is because we see it all over the media and politics, you guys can see how clear it is that the Bible condemns homosexuality. Romans 1, 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 6, Leviticus 20, Leviticus 18. Old Testament passages and New Testament condemned it. It's clear, isn't it? It's just as clear, the Bible forbidding women preachers. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying a woman preacher is a homosexual. I'm saying the Bible is just as clear on this as it is on that. Now, if you accept this, gay marriage is wrong, why can't you accept that women preachers is wrong? The Bible is just as clear. I suggest to you, without offending you, that it's because you want to have it your way. You see, I had a preacher friend, he died of multiple myeloma, Lynn Hedrick, one time said, when you do what God says because you agree with it, you're not really obeying God. You're doing that because you would have done it anyway. The only time you're really obeying God is when you do it and you don't agree with it. So when Daryl's against gay preachers, he's not really against it because the Bible says so. It's because he doesn't like gay marriage. You know how I know that? Because if he was against gay marriage because the Bible taught against it, then he would also be against women preachers because it's against it. He doesn't like gays. And I think it's a filthy thing too. But I'm not opposed to it because I think it's a filthy thing. I'm opposed to it because God said it's wrong, it's a sin. Daryl's opposed to it not because God said it, but because he doesn't like it. How do I know that? Because the Bible says women preachers are wrong too, and it's just as clear, but he's not opposed to that. If he were opposed to gay marriage because God said it, he would also be opposed to women preachers because God said it. Let's go back
to 1 Corinthians 14 for a moment. And I want to ask a question for everybody. And this is, I don't intend anybody to really speak up. That's not the point. It's just a way of bringing out my point when I ask the question. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and everybody look at it. Now, if I had my projector here, you would see this on the chart. Two choices. And I would ask Daryl to check one of them, okay? Two boxes. The first box is, would he agree with this? It is a shame for women to speak in the church. Would he check that box? Or would he check the box, a box where it says, it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? Which one do you agree with? Now, hold my time. I appreciate it if you would not speak while I'm speaking because it keeps others from hearing. Okay? We don't try to speak up when Daryl's talking. We let him have the floor. If you'll just please let me finish. We only got 10 or 15 more minutes. And you can talk to me in the foyer if you want to. But other people can't hear me if you're constantly speaking up. I just appreciate that, okay? Now go back to doing my time. And so we have two choices. What do you agree with? It is a shame for women to speak in the church. By the way, look down at the end of verse 35 for that. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. Or do you agree with, it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? You remember Adam and Eve? God said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And what did Satan say? The same thing, except he added the word not. You will not die. This verse says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. You know what Daryl believes? It is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, what do you think Daryl's choice would be if I had that on the chart? Do you think he would check, he agrees with it is a shame for women to speak in the church, or it is not a shame? Which one? Well, it's obvious he would check, he agrees it is not a shame for women to speak in the church, even though the verse says it is. After me practically camping on this passage all night long, which one do you think I would check? It is a shame for women to speak in the church, or it's not a shame for women to speak in the church? Is there anybody here who have any doubts about which one I would check? All right, why do you think I would check that one? Because is it, can you tell it's just because I don't like women, or is it because the verse actually says it? Which, why do you think? Isn't it pretty obvious why I would say it's a shame for women to speak in the church? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Now, the real question is, an important question is, which box would God check? If God was going to check that he agrees with it is a shame for women to speak in the church, or it is not a shame for women to speak in the church, which one would God check? Which one would God check? You know which one he would check. I know which one he would check because he tells us. And Daryl knows which one God would check because he tells us. He knows. He knows which one God would check. Again, Daryl made the argument that, well, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17, and he did reply, he was replying to my argument. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. At the end of that verse, he said, it says, I will bring you into remembrance of my ways, which I teach everywhere in every church. He said, Daryl says, oh, well, that's probably just talking about the churches he started. He said that in his second speech. But you know, Daryl said that he thought he started 14. I don't know if we know how many, but probably was 14. So Daryl admits right there it was not just a local problem. Daryl said that's saying that what he wrote applied to the churches he started, which would be 14 churches. And so it would not be just a local church problem that Daryl said. You see how one thing he said contradicted what he said before? It wouldn't be just a local problem if it applied to all the churches he started, if there were 14 of them. But having said that, I could see how you could say that was talking about the churches that he started. Okay? Because he didn't get to teach in those other churches. Maybe he didn't travel to them. Well, I would think it'd be more than the ones he started, but any church he preached at. He says, I teach whatever. Maybe that was 30 churches that he taught at total. The ones he started, 14, 16 more that he had an opportunity to teach at that he didn't start. 30, as I teach everywhere in every church. So it applied to 30, based upon 1 Corinthians 4, 17. But what about 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2? Who's he writing the book to? When he wrote 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, Daryl, who's he writing to? Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, that's one church. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Daryl, do you claim to be sanctified in Christ Jesus?
Are you asking me for an
answer? Yes or no answer, one word.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be written to Daryl, wouldn't it? And I think it would be written to his wife, Kitty, too. She claims to be sanctified in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Does everybody here claim to be called to be a saint? Y'all don't agree with the Catholics that only a few people are saints, right? That's every Christian. Wouldn't that be every Christian? With all that in every place, that gets more than just the 30 churches where Paul preached, right? who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gets every believer today if they claim to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it wasn't just a local church problem. Paul's writing to more than the 14 churches he started or the 30 churches he got to preach at. He's writing to every Christian, every person that was sanctified in Christ Jesus at that time, and he's writing to every single one of us now. And you know what he says? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for they are not permitted unto speak. Why? For it's a shame for women to speak in the church. He's writing to every single one of us today. Darrell said, and I just don't see how anybody can swallow this argument. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12, he said, I say it, not the Lord. And Darrell applies that to chapter 14, 34, and 35. But I think Darrell knows, but I don't know this for sure because I never talked to him about it, that what Paul's talking about there when he says, I say it, not the Lord, he's talking about what he's talking about in verses 12 through 15. What if you're married to an unbeliever? You see, the Lord didn't speak specifically when he was on this earth. What do you do if you're married to an unbeliever? So Paul tells us that's all he's saying. I'm saying this, but verse 40 says he's inspired of the Lord when he says it. But I'm saying this, the Lord didn't speak to this when he was on this earth. But the only thing he's talking about is what if I'm married to an unbeliever, verse 12 through 15. He's not talking about something seven chapters later in 14, 34, and 35, which Darrell is claiming that he was. And you know how we know that he's not? Because, and I already pointed this out in my first speech, in chapter 11, he quotes Jesus Christ in talking about the Lord's Supper. How that also include the bread, which represents his broken body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. You see it in your red letter editions. It's right there in chapter 11. Certainly Jesus said that, didn't he? Paul's quoting him. It's in red letters. So, Darrell knows that chapter 7, verse 12, that the Lord didn't say this, doesn't apply to chapter 11. Why does he think it applies way over here to chapter 14? He skips over chapter 11. It says 7:12 applies to 14:34, but it doesn't apply to chapter 11. Darrell doesn't even believe the argument he's making. He knows that what Paul's saying there only applies to the question, what if you're married to an unbeliever? He knows that. What did chapter 14:37 say? Two verses after Paul says it's a shame for women to speak in the church, he said, the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Yes, chapter 7:12 said, I write this not the Lord, referring to the fact that Jesus didn't specifically address this while he was on earth. Remember, in John 16:12, Jesus said, I'm not giving you everything. Some of the things are hard for you, they wouldn't be able to take it, but I'll send the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you in all the truth. He said that in verse 12. I'm not going to teach you everything. That's what it's talking about. So, yes, he said that in 7:12, but what did he say two verses after he gave us this command that women are not to preach in the church? What I write unto you is a commandment of the Lord. It doesn't sound like 7:12 is applying to 14:34 and 35, does it? That's seven chapters earlier. Two verses later, he says it is a commandment of the Lord. Darrell ignores 37, which is two verses later, and goes all the way back seven chapters before. And he misses what the point of that is anyway. And then Darrell got back to the I. He keeps bringing that up even though I keep responding to it. 1 Timothy 2, I suffer not, I allow not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. But let's just go back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20, one more time. What did Paul say? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God.
Seven men.
You mean that's just Paul saying that? That's not God? He's not inspired of God? Notice the second part of that verse. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You mean we don't have to obey that? We can go ahead and have fellowship with devils because Paul said not to do it? I say not to do it? That's Darrell's argument on 1 Timothy 2 and 11:12 because it says I, therefore it's only Paul. It doesn't matter that Paul's inspired of God and God's telling him the very words to say. He says I. We don't have to do it. We don't have to obey it. He doesn't believe that about 1 Corinthians 10:20, even though it's exactly the same thing. I say this. We all know that what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:20, even though he said I said it, we know what 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 says, that the words that I write are the words from the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. That's what's going on in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Look at 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Look at the context of 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. We didn't read the whole thing. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Let's keep reading. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What's Paul's argument there? That I say it's wrong for women to teach or usurp authority over the man because we're dealing with a local church problem and it doesn't apply to everybody? No, he says it's wrong because Eve was the one that was deceived in the transgression and not Adam. He goes all the way back to the original creation and said this is the reason that women are not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Now, is that fact still of creation still true? Is that fact of creation still true today? Remember he said women are not to teach over the man because Eve was deceived into transgression, not Adam. Is that fact still true? Yes, Eve was deceived into transgression and Adam was not. That's still true. Therefore, Paul's argument still applies. Unless that fact of creation changes, Daryl, Paul's argument still applies. Daryl made this statement. He says, the Bible is inspired, but that doesn't mean that what Balaam said was necessarily true. Of course not. You remember Job had three friends, and what they said for the most part was wrong. But the Bible being inspired means that when those three friends spoke, we know what they said. Now, what they said was wrong, but we know what they said accurately because the Bible's inspired. But see, when you have the writer of the book of 1 Corinthians, who says, the things that I write unto you, they are the very words of the Holy Ghost, he's not talking about when he quotes somebody and says, that's wrong. He's talking about what I write unto them, that comes from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the actual author. You see that? Daryl says, well, 1 Corinthians 5 only applies to someone sleeping with his daddy's wife, his stepmother. That applies to all of us. And what it's saying is, if you sleep with your daddy's wife, that's sin. And if you won't repent, the church ought to withdraw from you. That applied to all the churches then, all the churches now, doesn't it, Daryl? If somebody here sleeps with their brother's wife, their daddy's wife, and they won't repent, 1 Corinthians 5 is telling us to withdraw fellowship from them. It applies to us.
Hold my time, Ron. Does it pertain to this church? Anybody in here is guilty of it. Why would you even address it?
To keep people from doing it in the future.
But would it pertain to a church? He said it is commonly reported. It is among you.
Okay, you too?
Okay. I'd like to answer that question. It was among the Corinthian right. church, right?
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Why don't you let me speak during my time? Okay. Yes, it does pertain to this church. In other words, here's how it pertains. If you do that and you won't repent, you need to be withdrawn from it. And so don't do it. So it does apply to this church.
Hold his time.
Daryl,
was Paul addressing a local problem when he talked about those fornicating with their daddy's wife? Was he dealing with a local problem or a universal problem? Right there. What was he dealing with? A universal problem, local problem?
Which particular verse?
Where he said that there's commonly reported among youth that there's fornication. Here such is not mentioned among the Gentiles. Was he talking universal truth or was he dealing with this individual problem in an individual church? And then
okay.
I'll leave you alone.
Okay, I'll answer that. Okay. Just wait. I'll do it
now
in my speech.
Just, like I said.
Both. Both.
Who was he talking to when he said that in the Bible? Who was that addressed to?
Who was Ephesians?
This is what happens when you can't answer a question right here.
It's hard to answer.
It's pretty simple, ain't it?
I'm trying to answer his question. He keeps interrupting
me. You ain't going to try to answer it. We know it says you.
You too?
Yeah.
Who was Ephesians 4? Remember I quoted Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more? Does that only apply to the Ephesians? Or does that apply to us? And so when Paul says, it's true that he's talking about a particular man in that congregation had his father's wife. But you know how that pertains to us? If we do the same thing, then we come under the same condemnation and the church where we are ought to withdraw from us if we're not willing to repent. Now, having said that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. Start your time. Start my time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 and see if it's only applying to that church. 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 said, let your women keep silence in the church at Corinth. No. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. Daryl's argument is, it only applied to the church at Corinth. We've already refuted that thoroughly with 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. The book was written not only to the church at Corinth, but all that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That gets every Christian that's here today. That gets the Grandview Avenue Church, doesn't it? It was written to all those that call upon the name of the Lord. That gets all the folks at Grandview Avenue, all the people I worship. Every Christian, let your women keep silence in the churches. The very verse itself refutes what Daryl's saying, that it only applied to that church. Then, what was the reason the women should keep silence in the churches? Verse 35 gives it to you. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church of God at Corinth. No. The reason is it's because it's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's everywhere, isn't it? Let's go over to 1 Timothy 2 and look at the same thing. We can see the same thing there. In 1 Timothy 2, does that only apply to the church at Corinth? How could that only apply to the church at Corinth? He's not writing the church at Corinth there. How is Daryl's argument going to work there? It won't. But look at 1 Timothy 2. Who does the verse 11 and 12 apply to? I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Who's it apply to? What about verse 8? It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Is that just the church of God at Corinth? Or is that everybody? Do men pray around here? Then this applies there. What about verses 9 and 10 that tells the women to dress in modest apparel? Does that just apply at the church at Corinth? But women can go now? We can just go to nudist colonies or dress in bikinis? No! Modest apparel applies today, doesn't it? It applies to all the churches. And so does verse 11 and 12. Do you see that? So let's read 11 and 12. I've only got about a minute left. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That's very, very clear. Daryl doesn't believe it. He works very hard to try to get around it. Why do we need to feel the need to try to work hard to get around it? Why not just accept what it says and go on, and then you've learned the truth on it. Go on to something else. No reason to spend all that time trying to work to get around it. Let your women keep silence in the churches. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. I only got 1 minute left. This is what God says about the matter. I just read to you what 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12 says about the matter, and Daryl doesn't believe it. He's contending against what it says. Same thing with 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches. That's clear. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. That's clear. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. And here's the reason. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's clear. Now you're going to meet God in judgment one day with those verses right in front of you. If you're a woman preacher, you're violating, you're transgressing the law of God. You're in sin. You better repent or you'll be lost because of it. And if you're part of a church that allows women to preach, 2 John verses 10 and 11 says, if you bid Godspeed to somebody who's not abiding in the teaching of Christ, you become a partaker in their evil deeds. So if you're part of a congregation that allows this, then you become a partaker in their evil deeds and you're going to be lost the same as them. That's why this is so serious. Thank you for your attention.